I'm going to take your Bibles tonight and open to Ezekiel 34. We've reached a turning point in the book of Ezekiel. Up until now, Ezekiel has been prophesying of a coming judgment. For the most part, on the nation of Israel. God was seeking repentance, and Israel was unwilling to repent. The last couple of chapters have been dealing with a coming judgment upon other nations, upon Tyre, upon the Egyptians, upon the Assyrians, a number of nations that we noted that God was going to judge, which he did. The judgment is now past. So, why are there more chapters in Ezekiel? Is God done with the nation? And the answer is no. He gave a promise to Abraham that a Messiah would come. The Messiah hasn't come. Messiah must come. He gave a promise to David that there would always be someone to sit upon his throne. There's no one to sit upon the throne. So there must be a king that was yet coming. And if there's a king that's yet coming, then there must be a future kingdom. So God has a lot of work yet to do. But now all the people are in captivity. So things have to change. And the remaining chapters are going to deal with the changes that need to take place. Tonight, chapter 33, 34, 35, and 36. We'll get to them in the coming weeks. He's going to deal with the city of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. That has to be revamped. There is still yet judgment to come upon the people in a natural sense, not a coming army, but just death. The people have to be changed. Chapters 37 through 39, the kingdom has to be reestablished. And those three chapters will deal with the coming kingdom. And then chapters 40 through 48, you have to have the Messiah come to reign over that kingdom. And there has to be a temple that is rebuilt. So those chapters will deal with those things. Now you will have back in the land then a place where all the prophecies, the promises given to Abraham and to David can be fulfilled. And they will in time in the person of Christ. But that's yet to come. Let's look tonight at Ezekiel chapter 33 and see what he has to say here, how this is going to change the people of the land. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, someone who's living on the outskirts, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, which is what a watchman would do, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now this was normal. Cities had walls for protection. But there had to be some way of going in and out of the city. Gates. And if everything was fine, the gates were open. No problem. But remember the story of Joshua and the children of Israel and Jericho. And it says there, and Jericho was shut up tight. No one went in, no one went out. Why? Because they saw the Israelites coming. They could stand on the walls and watch because the walls were big and high. And as long as the gates were closed, nobody was coming in or going out. They felt safe. Well, their feelings were inaccurate, but nonetheless, they thought they were. But they had warning. And what God is saying here through Ezekiel is, in the normal course of things, you have this watchman that says, hey, look, the enemy's coming. Better take measures. And if people don't take measures, the enemy's going to come, march right in, take away captives. Too bad. But if they take measures to protect themselves from the enemy, good job. However, if the watchman doesn't give warning, the people are still going to perish, but I'm going to hold the watchman responsible. He didn't do his job. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, he talks about watchmen that don't do their job. And he said they're like dogs that don't bark. Interesting way of putting it. So anyway, there's a physical thing. He relates it then in verse 7. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. While the judgment is past, there are still things to deal with. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. I'm going to hold you responsible. Give him warning, but if you don't do it, you sin too. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You're innocent then. I won't hold you responsible. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak. Now this here would be the people of Israel are speaking. Here's what they say. If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Here we are. We've been taken away captive because of our sins. There's no escaping from this. What kind of a God is going to hold us responsible? We're just going to die out here. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Hey, look, all you guys need to do is repent of the sins that got you here. I'll sustain you. Judgment is determined, but I'll sustain you through it, and I'll allow you to live. But it's based upon your repentance. So Ezekiel, give them warning. Speak to them. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Now, he's not talking about a state here. He's talking about individual acts. Here's a person who normally does that which is righteous, has a testimony of goodness, but he falls into an act or acts of sin. And what he's saying here is his righteousness, what he had done before, will not cover it up. If you sin tomorrow, you're responsible for your sin tomorrow. all the good deeds that you did today don't exonerate you. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. Here's a person who sins. Well, should they be judged according to their sin? Yes. But if they repent, God says, okay, that's all that's necessary. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Here's a person who's done all kinds of bad things, but he's genuinely repented. He not only has regretted what he has done, recognized that it was wrong, he not only has become remorseful about what he has done. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But he has repented. I've got to correct the wrong. If I've stolen from someone, remember the tax collector, Zacchaeus. If I've taken anything, I will restore fourfold. You only had to do it twice. You say, I'm going to go the extra mile. That's the idea. I not only am I upset with myself, but I'm going to make it right. I'm going to repent. That's what genuine repentance is. And God says, hey, look, if you come to the place where you recognize the seriousness of your sin and repent, you'll live. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people, when they hear these things, they say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. The people are saying, that's not right. Here's this guy who has a testimony of doing all these things. We pile up his goodnesses. On the scale of justice, we have the good things, and here's one sin. You have all these things of past history. Shouldn't they outweigh the wrong? God says, no, they don't. The people are saying, that's not fair. That's just not fair. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Here's a guy who's done all these wicked things. And all he has to do is repent once. And God says, I'll take care of it. That's not fair. According to our reasoning. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. O you house of Israel, I will judge every one of you after his way. If that's what you want, I can do that. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, by this time, Jerusalem has been devastated. In fact, it's been about a year since Jerusalem was leveled. The temple is no more. And remember, the people of the captivity were saying, they'll never destroy the temple. They'll never destroy the city. Both are gone. 10th month and the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me saying, now the one there is what they call a collective one. It could be one person. More than likely it was one group of people. Saying the city is smitten. It's gone. It's dust. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening before he that was escaped came and had opened my mouth. Remember back in Ezekiel chapter 3, God said to Ezekiel, from here on in for a time, you will not be able to speak in normal conversation. All you will be able to say is what I tell you to say. That will be a sign to the people. What's going on that this guy can always speak God's word? Should get their attention. It didn't. Hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening and opened my mouth till he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened and I was no more dumb, no more incapable of speech. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. But we are many, the land is given to us for an inheritance. What the people that were left behind that weren't taken captive are saying, you must be pretty good. All these other guys were taken away, captive. We were allowed to stay back. Abraham, our father, was given this land, but he was only one person. We're a gang of people. We're still here. We're still good. We're better than Abraham was. We still have the land. You guys up there in Babylon, don't, Who said that? Wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, you eat with blood, that is, you eat meat that still contain blood, contrary to the law of Moses. They were not allowed to do that. And you lift up your eyes toward idols, contrary to the law of Moses. You're not allowed to do that. And you shed blood, innocent blood. You are not allowed to do that. And shall you possess the land? Here you guys are, and you're still committing sins. And you think because you were left behind, you're better off than the guys that were taken captive? You stand upon your sword. You're going to have your way in whatever you do. You work abominations and you defile everyone, his neighbor's wife, and you shall possess the land? Are you kidding me? Is a paraphrase of the Hebrew. Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Do you think you guys can get away with sin without repenting? It's not going to happen. And everyone that was left behind is going to die off. Who are the ones that will then repopulate the land of Israel? Mostly the offspring of the ones who were taken captive. Now there will be a few of the captives that will come back. If you read the book of Haggai, when they were rebuilding the temple, there were some that mourned because they saw the first temple. Well, they were pretty old by that time. But there was a few of them. But mostly it would be their offspring. God would have wiped out a generation or two generations and started over. But the land will be repopulated. Verse 30. Also thou, son of man, the children of thy people are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. You become entertainment to them. Not that Ezekiel was doing wrong, but the heart of the people was doing wrong. What did you get out of the service today? I don't know. Didn't get much out of it. Well, it's the pastor's fault. We just don't get it sometimes, do we? But that was it. And sometimes, oh man, that was an exciting message. What was it about? I don't know, but it was exciting.
I enjoyed it.
And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. What is coming to pass? Well, if the righteous or the ones who think they're righteous commit iniquity, which these people are doing and don't repent, God will hold them accountable for their sin. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, God says. But hey, I'm infinitely holy. These are my standards. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'll give to you that which is necessary that you can abide by these things. But if you don't want to hear, well, then you're going to suffer the consequences. What do we have here? First section, we have people that don't want to listen. God says, I'll hold you accountable. In the second section, we have people that say, I'm righteous, I don't deserve this. God says, I'll hold you accountable. In the third section, we have people that are in the land say, well, we must be better than everybody else. God said, no, you're not, and I'll hold you accountable. Finally, we have people that say, well, I went to church today. Isn't that good? God says, I'll hold you accountable. Everything here is from the perspective of me first. God says, nope, I'm first. And time's going to prove it. And Ezekiel, I'm calling you to tell the people judgment is still coming. Not a national judgment, but an individual one of those who will repent, no judgment. Those who won't, you're going to die in your sins. We are living in a world that I don't think has ever experienced a me-first philosophy like it is today. It's our society is like a singer warming up for a performance. Me, 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 me. That's all it is. What do I get out of this? What's in it for me? And Ezekiel says, or God says to Ezekiel, you need to warn those people. you don't do it, I'm going to hold you accountable. I think he's saying the same thing to us. There will be some that will repent. There will be some that will say, hey, what you say sounds good, but I'm not interested. But if we don't tell them, we're responsible. God has never closed our mouths that we cannot speak. Why should we? Let's pray. Father, I cannot help but think of the Apostle Paul's request for prayer when he said there is an open door that is effectual that has been given to him to preach the gospel. While it may be that the opportunities are coming less and less as each day goes by, of people not wanting to hear, of governments making it difficult to proclaim, may we be sensitive to the opportunities that we have and effectively use them to proclaim your glories to the world around us, for they need to hear. For you have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn from their sin and live. But that'll never happen if we stay silent. Encourage us, Lord, in the task that you've given to us, that we might be found faithful. For I pray this in our wonderful Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.